The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Philip said to Jesus, "Show us God and we'll be satisfied." The finalist for the position of rector in the church of somebody special met with what she hoped would be the last time with the vestry of the church. It had been a long and arduous routine. She had been interviewed by Skype. She had submitted written answers to questions by the search committee. She had met with a subcommittee of the search committee in her own church where she was an associate. She had visited the church to meet the entire search committee, had had dinner with them, had had breakfast with them, had answered all their questions, met with the... It was just a long and detailed and arduous task, made more complicated by the fact that she was in more than one search. But then the phone call came from the senior warden, who said to her, "You are our finalist, and we would like to have you come and meet the vestry." Well, she was very pleased because she had come to like the people of the church of somebody special. And so she hoped they would like her too. So she went and had another long weekend, or midweek actually, session with the vestry. Went to the same routine, went to dinner, looked around the neighborhood, met a realtor. And then on one morning, she sat for the last time with the vestry, and they asked her all the questions they could think of that they hadn't asked before. And after a little more than an hour, it appeared as though the conversation was beginning to come to an end. And so the senior warden looked around the table at everyone and finally said, "Are there any other questions?" Then one older fellow, on the vestry, who hadn't said much before this, raised his hand, said, "I just have one." And he looked her in the eye and he said, "Do you know the Lord?" Well, her mind raced. Do I know the Lord? You know, I have degrees. I've written papers that have been published. I'm credentialed. How am I supposed to answer a question like that? Well, it's a difficult question. The truth is that it's really a lot harder even than it might seem. To begin with, in the Bible, in Hebrew and in Greek, the verb to know is a relationship word. It's not cognitive. The verb is yada in Hebrew, and it's a relationship word. It's, do you really know? Are you in an intimate relationship with this person? It can have sexual overtones, as you probably know. But it means, are you in intimate relationship? So, are you in intimate relationship with God? Well, how are we to deal with that one? How do I understand if I'm in an intimate relationship with God? You know, the truth is, I do ask that question from time to time. I guess I should, given the work I do. I think it's part of what Leslie and I are told to do. At least it ought to be, if it's not. But I'll bet you do too. You don't put it in those words. But in the middle of the night, sometimes, you wonder, is my life really harmonious? Authentic? Am I in tune with my family and friends? Am I in tune with the world around me? Am I in tune with my neighbors? All of my neighbors. Even the fellow who stuck his hand out as I was stopped at a red light this morning on the way here. Is my life harmonious? I guess that's the secular way of asking pretty much the same question. I also ask myself, what are the impediments? You know, I live in a nice house, in a nice neighborhood, with a nice garden. I drive a nice car. My life is really free of issues. Really. You know, the doctor doesn't always give me the best news. You know, and sometimes it's not easy to get the bills paid, but they all get paid. And so I wonder if some of that is in the way of, not that the car and the house and all those are impediments in themselves, but my desire for comfort may sometimes preempt my desire to live harmoniously with neighbor and with God. Well, the verb to know, when used in the Bible, is a very, very important verb. Not an easy one to get your hands around, because it's all about relationship. It's not about knowledge. It's about relationship. And if you think that word is difficult, how about the word God? What do you think of when we say the word God? When you say the word God? Is God an old fellow in a long white beard who sits above the highest cloud? Or is God some sort of philosophical abstraction? The truth of it is, it's really hard to get your hands around the idea of God. Who or what or how or when or where is God? To a process theologian, God is in the future. God is always in the future. God is sheer potentiality. To a liberation theologian, God is freedom. freedom from injustice of any sort. To James Cone, God is black. To Vine Deloria, God is red. There's a prominent English physicist named John Polkinghorne who believes in God because he came to believe in quarks. Quarks. Now, I'm way out of my depth right now. So don't hold me to anything I'm about to tell you about quarks. Because you probably know more about quarks than I do. But they are subatomic particles that until recently were only a theory. But they come in different sizes and shapes, all of them teeny tiny. They come in pairs, and they have polarity. That is to say, they go around. And in fact, the pairs go in opposite ways. And if you change the polarity of one, the other one automatically changes. So if there's a quark on the other side of the moon and one on the other side of my desk, and if I could change the direction that the one on the other side of my desk spins, then the one on the other side of the moon would also change direction. Now, because of these mass colliders, science can identify quarks, but you can't. The mere act of observing them changes them. And so what you really know about them is the path that they take. So you only know them by their history, by what they've done before. And that convinced Polkinghorne, well, maybe God is like that. We only know God by God's history. 100 years ago, Rudolf Otto, a German theologian, said, God is a mystery that is both attractive and fearsome. Attracts us, but also we are afraid to be too attracted. Kind of interesting. But I guess the real question is, what do you think when you think the word God? Well, we left our applicant wondering how she's going to answer this very difficult question. And this is what she said. She said, well, I do know the Lord in the way that you're asking the question. Not as I'd like to, not as I should, not as I will. Because now we see through a glass darkly. So the answer to your question is, I don't know the Lord. But I'm getting to know Jesus. And I believe that knowing Jesus is the way to knowing the Lord. He is the perfect imprint of God's very being, it says in the Epistle to the Hebrews. In him, Paul says in the letter to the Colossians, in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And so I believe that if I am in relationship with Jesus, then I'm in relationship somehow with God. And how do I develop, how do I foster a relationship with Jesus? I do what he tells me to do. I do my best to be faithful to the way he asks us to live. I do, as best I can, all of the things that he demands of us. And the most important, if you could summarize all of the things he demands of us, you would say that it's all about putting one's own interests behind the interests of others. The one who would save his life will lose it, he said. And the one who will lose his life for the sake of the gospel will save it. So it's really not about me. It's about the fella who stuck his hand out at the stoplight this morning. Regardless of his motives, regardless of anything else. So that's the way I try to live. That's the truth into which I try to go. That's the life I try to lead. His way, His truth, His life.